Joseph Galaban interviews John Gottschall and Megan Patzold about their joint show called Counterpoint at Gallery 114. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Samantha Crane and Matthew Malia concert Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater and Pub in Portland. The show will be a unique blend of storytelling, song, live readings, and collaboration. Samantha will be drawing from her lengthy discography of songs with expansive melodies. Matthew will perform many pieces from the Frontier Ruckus catalog, including B-sides and rarities. Again, that's Samantha Crane and Matthew Malia in concert, Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater and Pub, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Rags to Riches Jazz Concert and live broadcast on Saturday, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Holiday Park in Portland. Swing dance lessons start an evening of live music with breaks included for short informational speeches about the life and history of jazz in the early 20th century. Again, that's Rags to Riches Jazz Concert and live broadcast on Saturday, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Holiday Park between Northeast 11th Avenue and Holiday Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Produced by Her, a screening of four documentaries that were made in the Produced by Her media program. The screening will be August 28th at 5 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. The short films explore the commercial sexual exploitation of children in Oregon, the importance of safe space in the LGBTQ community, women and street art, and the experience of black girls in Portland. Again, that's Produced by Her, a documentary screening, Sunday, August 28th at 5 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4111 Northeast Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Samantha Crane and Matthew Malia concert Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater and Pub in Portland. The show will be a unique blend of storytelling, song, live readings, and collaboration. Samantha will be drawing from her lengthy discography of songs with expansive melodies. Matthew will perform many pieces from the Frontier Ruckus catalog, including B-sides and rarities. Again, that's Samantha Crane and Matthew Malia in concert, Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater and Pub, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, August 16th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on the air and at kboo.fm on the web. Be sure to check out that kboo.fm. I just punched myself in the face because I couldn't get the printer to work at first. But now we do actually have a headline from Earth First, a group of grassroots organizers from Idle No More and others, such as the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs, the Council of Canadians, and the National Aboriginal People National Aboriginal People Circle, and the Prairie Region of Public Service Alliance of Canada. Whew, wow! Have joined together to implement an independent assessment of the Husky Energy Incorporated pipeline spill. I don't know if anyone remembers that one, but it was, as in the immortal words of Donald Trump, it was huge, huge spill that occurred on July 20th into the North Saskatchewan River, as if that river hasn't been punished enough. While Husky Energy has offered to have this bill assessed, many community members are concerned that this assessment will not take into account consideration of the amazingly delicate ecosystem and habitat variables that defy algorithms. And people of the entire Saskatchewan River Delta that have been affected by this spill will never have their original lives back. Their customs and traditions will become just a faint memory. As the saying goes, the old will die and the young will forget. That's the situation in Alberta. That province has really taken it right on the chin for a long time now. A flyover of the province of Alberta will leave you shattered. It's a mess to behold. That said, this is one of our headlines. We're going to be talking today with Dan Sears of Columbia Riverkeeper about the condition of the Columbia River, which is, again, the problem this year is the river is warming. How much longer we can stave off that is doubtful. We'll keep you posted. I'm going to try. I want to dredge up a little weather here in a moment. Just taking a look at the next few days. I'll have that for you in a second. We're dredging up a number that we're going to need to talk with our guest today. Dan Sears, as I said before, the Columbia Riverkeeper. We're going to talk about the warm river, and we're going to be talking about number of what the ramifications of that are, because it's not simply a case of let's cool it down. Maybe we should throw some ice cubes in it. Too bad we can't throw ice cubes on these phone numbers. It would be about as easy as cooling the river. What this is all about is a phone number. And I think we're going to have that one right away, because it's a lot more than just cooling down the river. That's not a simple problem. And of all of the different weather change, climate change issues that we're confronting right now, we are right up against we're right up against the problems that we've created for ourselves. They're not just problems, they're disasters, they're all man-made. And this one is a trickier one than most, because a river, I think the poobahs are beginning to understand, is not just a bunch of water flowing in one direction through a landscape. It's an incredibly complicated habitat. And if they were able to take a look at climate change from this point of view, I think people would understand a little bit better how climate change actually works. We understand that this is going to affect our lives, possibly terminating the species. We understand various other aspects of it. We don't understand, at least we're talking about the experts, how interconnected everything is. And the warming of a river system is a problem of enormous magnitude in and of itself, but the full understanding of what this actually means and every other aspect of climate change that has been talked about in mainstream media in the last 10, 15 years, all of that has been talked about as though it were simply an isolated problem that has to be fixed probably with technology, and then we will adjust to climate change and all that it means. But no, it is nothing remotely like that. We'll be talking with Dan in just a moment. First, I do want to just to bring full circle the situation in Saskatchewan. The extensive cleanup of that river and the surrounding land has been affected by many other variables as well, and all that information Husky Energy Incorporated, as well as the provincial and the federal governments, they've collected about the spill are available and accessible to the public, which is of course staring at it in slack-jawed horror at what we hath wrought. Immediate strict environmental protections to be installed at Moncton, assess more than 2,000 pipelines. Did you got that right? 2,000 pipelines in Saskatchewan and treaty areas, virtually every tiny morsel of land affected by the spill is on treaty land. The provincial, federal, and all First Nations governments' transition into sustainable energy, the phasing out the dependency on fossil fuels, is not going very well in Canada. In fact, it's not going mostly at all, because what has been done to that ecosystem is so massive that even if the rest of the world put the brakes on right now, what's gone on in Alberta alone, in Saskatchewan alone, up in some of the north, some of the areas where the mining is so extensive, that would be impossible to fix. We might as well just say it right now. No one wants to say it, but a handful of people, nut up and actually admit that there's no fixing this one. It's just too enormous and too severe. So that said, we're going to visit another river, our own dear Columbia River, which itself has sustained more than its share of injury and insult. We're speaking now with Dan Sears, who's Columbia Riverkeeper. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Chris.
This is a serious problem. The year before, again, warming rivers. It's probably well past time for people to confront the fact that at a certain point it will not be possible to cool the Columbia River because so many different factors need to be involved, that need to be invoked in order to accomplish this. If we really could cool down the Columbia River for the foreseeable future, we would have solved a great many other problems. What are they going to do about it this year, and why is this a turning point?
What motivates us this year is really last year. Last year was an ugly reminder in 2015 of just how unmanaged the temperature situation is in the Columbia River. We lost 250,000 adult sockeye salmon in the mainstem Columbia and Snake Rivers. And those are salmon that never got to spawn. They died in the mainstem before ever reaching spawning grounds. And that was a direct result of the Columbia River becoming too warm. So what Riverkeeper is doing is we are suing the EPA. We're challenging them to now develop basically a temperature budget for the Columbia River. And this is a process that actually began in 2000. When the federal government agreed with Oregon and Washington to start developing a total maximum temperature plan, essentially, for the Columbia River. And when studies showed that it was the dams that were the main culprit in this, and now we obviously see the climate crisis heaping on top of the impact of the dams, they stopped short of putting out a final report because it was going to point the finger a little bit too clearly at the federal hydropower system. And so what we're going to do now is we are going to push the federal government, and starting with EPA, and we're at the very beginning of this, of trying to restart this process. It's urgent that EPA now take up this issue again and start addressing how we're going to keep the Columbia River cool enough to sustain salmon for decades to come.
And it seems, too, that if it doesn't matter whether you can keep the lights on, if the species is confronted with the possibility of extinction. More on that. So there are so many factors involved in cooling a river that it seems, where do you begin? This is chaoseticians have been attempting to predict weather, not climate, but weather originally. Now that problem is now expanded and extended to climate change. What are the other long-term implications of the attempt to solve this problem?
Yeah, I mean, the long-term implications are we're going to have to address how the federal hydropower system is impacting the Columbia River. The dams make the Columbia River and Snake River hotter. The big reservoirs behind those dams allow that solar heat to come in and warm up the river to make it too hot for salmon. And to address that problem, we're going to have to take a look at how the dam system is managed to release flows to make it more natural. We're also going to have to take a hard look at obsolete Lower Snake River dams and the impediment they pose to both an effective temperature management on the Columbia River and also allowing more natural flows that make the river healthier for salmon and healthier for the many people who rely on salmon in our region.
And there's so many more factors. I think people will be forced to come to terms with the fact that it is not just warm. It's not just the depth of temperature that contribute to the warming of the river. It's virtually every other aspect of life here in Cascadia. Would you like to just give people a resource to go to and follow the developments on this on the issue?
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks, Chris. You can find more information at ColumbiaRiverKeeper.org. And thanks for tracking this issue.